to Samuel 12:18. Consequences. Number one, treachery. Number two, tragedy. Number three, truth. The popular singer Don McLean sang with pathos the words of 2 Samuel and chapter 18, and sang in Israel these words, "O Absalom, my son, my son. O Absalom, my son, would I had died instead of you. O Absalom, my son, my son. O Absalom, my son, my son." Can you think of anything worse than the anguish of losing your own son? Can you think of any worse lament? Anything more tragic than having to sing a song like that? Consequences. Consequences flying back at me. Consequences. Consequences affecting history. Consequences, consequences, things you can't forget. Consequences, consequences, pain and deep regret. Consequences, consequences, the sowing of the wind. Consequences, consequences, reaping the whirlwind. And Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. He who sows to the flesh shall reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit shall reap eternal life." You've heard it before. Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Those of you who know your Bible will remember that faithful, loyal, wonderful prophet Hosea. Remember how he speaks from his own experience, but he speaks to a nation who've gone into rebellion, who've gone into idolatry, who've gone into spiritual adultery. He says these words, "Sow the wind. You've sown the wind. You will reap the whirlwind." There is always, without exception, a high price to low living. The devil always promises you the best but pays the worst. Promises you life but pays with death. Promises you joy but pays you anguish. Promises you heaven and pays with hell. And we found that David, the man after God's own heart, has sadly fallen from a great height to a great depth. Why did you go near Bathsheba? You could have had anyone. Uriah's wife, your trusted, loyal servant and warrior? Ahithophel's granddaughter? Your best, most loyal friend, the one who spoke the oracles of God? How could you do this? And now we find the consequences begin to kick in. There will be treachery, real treachery in the home, in the nation, civil war, chaos. Just listen. Here's what Nathan had said. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you've despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. What a prophecy that was. What a warning that was. Look what happens. Their baby dies. Look what happens. Into the family situation of David comes absolute chaos. Look at chapter 13. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. Here in the house is Amnon, one of David's sons. Here is Tamar, it's his half-sister. By the time we get down to verse 14, Amnon would not listen to her, and he, being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Incest. Rape. In David's household. Sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. Someone said, to each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass and a book of rules, and each must make, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. David has become a stumbling block. I remind you, according to the New Testament, according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something worse than being a sinner. It is being a stumbling stone. His whole family is now in chaos. Absalom, his favorite son, all hair and hormones, no one like him, good looking, attractive, charismatic, gifted, real leadership material. He hates his brother Amnon for what he's done to his sister Tamar and arranges for Amnon to be murdered. Incest. Rape. Murder. And David does absolutely nothing about it. What could he do? If he pointed a finger at them, there'd be three pointing back at him. How compromised is he? But the situation gets even worse. Because we find there will be now a civil war, and this civil war will involve his own son Absalom and his trusted spiritual guide Ahithophel. What happens is Absalom goes away for a bit, comes back. Look what it says of Absalom in chapter 14. Now in all Israel, verse 25, there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. There was not a blemish in him. So he decides to use his good looks, his charm, and his charisma to deal treacherously and to start a civil war. He woos men and women with his charm. But behind his white gloves, there are filthy hands. Behind his angel face, there is a demonic heart. Look at verse 13 of chapter 15. And a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. Then David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Think about this. Here is David fleeing from his favorite son, the one he loved, the one he had high ambitions for, the one he spoilt rotten. And by the time you get down to verse 23 of chapter 15, listen to this. And the land wept aloud, and all the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed on towards the wilderness. David leaving the palace. David leaving Jerusalem. He goes barefoot with his head covered, his head down in utter shame, because now there is treachery in the heart of Absalom. Not only so, look what happens in verse 15 of chapter 16. Now Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king! Long live the king! Is this your loyalty to your friend? Long live the king! Absalom, he's the one we want to be king. Look what happens in verse 20 of chapter 16. Absalom said to Ahithophel, give your counsel. Ahithophel, Bathsheba's granddad. Perhaps you're sitting there thinking, well, if I was Bathsheba's granddad and he did what he did, my heart would be filled with rage too. Look what Ahithophel, the man who spoke the oracle of God, the one who was David's confidant, the one who was David's spiritual guide, listen to what he says and remember what was said by Nathan the prophet. Verse 20, verse 21, Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you've made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened. Here is a man who is now absolutely burning with anger, hatred, and murder. He shamed my granddaughter. You shame his concubines in front of everybody. The prophecy comes to pass in absolute detail. Then look at chapter 17. Moreover, verse 1. Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me choose 12,000 men. I will arise and pursue David tonight. If anyone in the whole kingdom knew all of David's secret hiding places, it is Ahithophel. Literally every secret David had, every hideout David would run to, Ahithophel knew all about. And he says, give me 12,000 men and I'll go and hunt him down. Civil war. Chaos in the home. Chaos in the nation. Incidentally, it is tragic to find that Ahithophel goes to take his own life and dies a bitter, hate-filled, disappointed man. Chaos, treachery, consequences, consequences, screaming out. Number two, there's tragedy. Look what happens in this story. Joab, you remember him? The letter? Do you remember the letter? Put Uriah to the front. That letter he would never let go of. Those instructions would be burned upon his mind. Really, he had no respect at all. You see, what happens is, Joab says, come on, let's fight Absalom. Let's seek him out. Let's hunt him down. David says, please, please, look at chapter 18 and verse 5. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. If you're going to hunt him down, Joab, please, when you find him, my son, my favorite son, I know what he's done, but please, please deal gently with him. Remember what happens as you read through the narrative. Absalom is riding. His golden hair is flowing. It's caught in the branches. He's hanging by the branches. No one will kill him. Joab says, look at verse 14. I will not waste time like this with you. You should have killed him. And he took 3 javelins in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. And this favored son of David is shamefully, brutally violated and murdered. The Cushite comes. Good news for my lord. See that there in chapter 18, verse 31? Good news for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all who rose up against you. The king said to the Cushite, is it well with the young man Absalom? May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man. And the king was deeply moved. Went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom. My son. My son Absalom. Would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, I would have died in your place. David, instead of lamenting that you would have died in his place, why didn't you live in a way whereby the boy could look up to you? Tragedy. You know, some years ago, I did a series on the Absalom spirit, some of you may remember. The Absalom spirit actually is very prevalent in churches. Here's how it goes. First of all, amongst a man or woman or a group of men and women come the independent spirit. We're answerable and accountable to no one. Then the self-promotion. Then the spiritual pride. Then there's this touchiness, this offended spirit. Then there's suspicion. Then there's criticism. Then there's the sowing of seeds of division. Then there's accusation. Then there's fault-finding. Then there's broken confidences and bold and defiant action. Then there's a split. then there's the judgment of God. And I have seen that in this city over and over and over again. If you have an Absalom spirit, you will be under the judgment of God. All of us, without exception, are to pray against such a spirit. All of us, without exception, are to be those who are led by the Spirit, who walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not the unholy spirit which possessed Absalom. What a tragic state of affairs. What pain, what heartache, what grief, what loss. Someone wrote, "Hating people is like burning down your own house to get rid of a rat." Booker T. Washington said, "I am determined to permit no man to narrow or degrade my soul by making me hate him." Hatred has no place. Apart from the hating of sin, we are to hate sin, but we are to love people. As difficult as that is, we are to do whatever needs to be done. Isn't that right? Whatever needs to be done. Otherwise, tragedy will come. Lastly, I want to speak to you about truth. Here's the truth. Paul spoke to the Romans and said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." When you play fast and loose with the commands of God, you will reap what you sow. That's what the Bible says in the book of Galatians. You will reap what you sow. Without a shadow of a doubt. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up in trying to do whatever it takes to do good. Don't give up on it. Otherwise, what might happen is you might say, find God saying, "I'm not going to be mocked by you or by anybody else." And you know, the wages of sin is death in all sorts of circumstances. David, what's your marriage like? David, how are your kids doing? David, were you a true friend? David, are those tears of brokenness, could they have been avoided by your behavior? You see, in all sorts of ways, the wages of sin is death. Of course, the Bible makes it plain. Sin will find us out. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. So isn't it good that the Apostle Paul says, "But the gift of God is eternal life"? You see, where would we be without the gospel? Shall I tell you where we would be? We would be under a curse, without a shadow of a doubt. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and to do them. David, we're no different than you, are we? Let's get the video of our life, our thoughts, our habits, our attitudes, our outlook. Let's see if we can tick off the law. Look how good I've been. Let's pull out my lapel. Let's polish my halo. Oh no. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by in all things written in the book of the law and do them. But here's the gospel. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The truth is that in the gospel, the curse which should be upon you and upon me has fallen upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That is good news. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. And I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. And once again I pour out my love, my heart, my devotion, my commitment. Consequences, we may have to live with them in life. But here's the truth. The consequences of our sin, if we are in Christ, has been paid fully and finally on the nail, once and for all, forever. And the wrath which should be upon us has fallen upon him. And all my sin of every kind, and all those thoughts that stain the mind, and all the evil I designed, has been laid on him. The wages of sin is death. Hallelujah for the New Testament, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand and sing.